Look, a huge win, obviously. I think the thing that our guys did the best, you can't control who's playing for the other team, but, man, we did all the things we needed to do defensively. I would have liked to score more touchdowns in the red zone, but you play a game a certain way. You know, when we understood what was at stake, and now we sit here with the opportunity of having the one seed, which is pretty good.
That's Sean Payton, head coach of the Denver Broncos. They will await the lowest seeded winner remaining after Super Wild Card weekend. Broncos, they have home field in the AFC.
Not surprised by that. Wrote in the Washington Post this summer, I thought that the Broncos had a real legitimate shot to be the one seed and maybe host the AFC Championship game. They obviously are the one seed. I don't think they're going to host the AFC Championship game. I've not been super impressed. Bo Nix has multiple touchdown passes in one of his last nine games, I think it is now. I don't like the state of affairs with the passing game. And I think the defense is closer to really good than great. And I think Houston's defense is great. And I think some elite offenses can best this defense. I would take the field over the one seed in the AFC.
Well, going down that path, though, you think that the Chargers are live against the Patriots.
I think Chargers are beating the Patriots.
So if that happens, seven seed would play the one. Do you think the Chargers?
I'd be real interested to see that line.
Yeah,
I mean that's two Hall of Fame type coaches. I don't mind Harbaugh's teams traveling. I like the way the Chargers have run the ball down the stretch. I think Bo Nix is going to have difficulty even at home, maybe even especially at home, with the pressure that's going to be on them. Look, I'm not an Oway guy. Wasn't an Oway guy. Mm. Always been a difference maker for their pass rush. A guy like Derwin James, I think, might bait him into a mistake or two. Like they don't have guys you've got to like. No one's sitting there saying we got to take Courtland Sutton away. Like I think it'd be an interest. I'd probably be on the Chargers.
When the wild card weekend lines came out, four of the six games had road favorites. Now the Bears Packers game has flipped since they came out. But are you surprised that we have half the games were road favorites?
I think I'll be interested to see where the money is on that Jacksonville game by the time we get to the weekend. I think there'll be money coming in on Jacksonville, and I think that'll probably go off as more of a pick'em or something like that.
They have the number one rush defense.
Yeah, they create a lot of turnovers. Yeah. I think their offense, the way they can run the ball, the way Trevor Lawrence is rushing, handling the ball right now, taking care of the ball, the RPO game, having to defend him in the run game. This Brenton Strange tight end has really come on. I think they've got a lot. Washington's been a legit deep threat. Myers is a legit deep threat. I think Buffalo's in trouble.
Buried the lead. Steelers money line?
Oh,
minus three.
Oh, you're taking Houston and the points? Okay.
I'm laying the three with Houston. You can still get that. You could this morning. You're paying a little juice, minus 120. But I think that's going to end up going off above, like probably closer to four, somewhere in that probably no man's land, four and a half. It wouldn't surprise me. I'm not too surprised about the where the lines were. You don't see a lot of road playoff 10.5-point favorites. But, I mean, the Rams... Yeah. Crazy. I mean, I watched that game in real time the first time because I was on that game a lot of different ways. It took some doing. And I get it. All the Rams losses, you're like, man, it took some doing for them to lose. And then it happens and it happens and it happens. But I think Stafford's going to light them up.
So let's get to the Black Monday and Tuesday of it all. And since we took air, I think right before we got on air, the Commanders fired both their coordinators. And now in the last 15 minutes, the Lions have fired John Morton, their offensive coordinator, which I think we saw coming. Let's look at the Commanders. And we had Cordell on yesterday, and he was a Cliff guy. But now Cliff is gone. Joe Witt is the firing both their coordinators, something that may happen here in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think Dan Quinn will be fired by this time next year. It's that thing is trending in a bad direction. I I'll be fascinated to see the direction they go at offensive coordinator. I would think that that's a team that would, if Monk's let go, I don't think Monk's getting a head coaching job. Like, I could see them being all over Todd Monken with this. I mean, it's very similar to when he took over Lamar. Like, I think he'd do a great job.
Definitely would be a good fit.
But I'm not a big Dan Quinn guy. I think he's a rah-rah guy. You get an immediate burst with him. Every day is the greatest day to be alive. And that works for about a year. Like, unless you've got the Legion of Doom like Pete had in Seattle, unless you have a couple of generational drafts right off the bat and you trade a 4 for Marshawn Lynch or whatever, like everything comes together and you find a quarterback in the 3rd round who was on a Hall of Fame track, at least while he was in Seattle. Like, I don't think that's the way it's going to work for his protege, Carroll's protege, Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn to me is a lot like Ron Rivera. I know the other owner hired and not this guy, but
we have some breaking news according to Beltway Ben Hall. You're telling
John Harbaugh's fired.
Who? Wow. Where are you seeing this? I believe you.
Yeah. Underdog NFL just updated me. Underdog usually pretty spot on with it.
NFL.
Underdog.
Did they cite anybody?
No, they have not yet. They just said Ravens fired John Harbaugh.
Ian Rappaport.
Rappaport's got it.
Ravens and longtime decorated head coach John Harbaugh parting ways after days of discussion.
There you go, Silent Steve. That's
major
a start.
Decision in Baltimore.
Yeah. Jordan Schultz have mutually agreed to part ways.
He'll be coveted. If he wants to take a little time off, he can take a little time off. But they had to make a seismic move. They had to make a seismic move. This thing has fallen off the rails.
I think next week we talk about this.
Yeah.
The rest of the show.
We might bag 5:30. John Harbaugh has been fired. We discuss next here on The Fan. Breaking news in the last 10 minutes. According to Tom Pelissero, the Ravens have fired John Harbaugh. He said the Ravens are holding a meeting now to inform staff. So after 18 seasons, John Harbaugh out as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
It's a start. I mean, again, we were all not sure if they would actually do what it looked like should be done for a lot of valid reasons. When you're talking about moving on from 2 coordinators, when you're talking about seasons unraveling the way some of these have, when you're talking about the same mistakes over and over and over again, regardless of the coordinator, we can't figure out a 4th quarter defense. Regardless of the roster, we're having difficulty in close and late situations and our 2-minute offense and how we open games and how we close games, and you're looking at even like timeouts and simple game management stuff that just seems to be recurring, and usage of challenges. And I know that is more kind of analytics now anyway, with the way they're doing it with the kids upstairs and everything. Mm-hmm. But it had seemingly run its course, and his mentor Andy Reid had a tremendous second life as a head coach, and Harbs is a hell of a coach, but it was over here. It needed to change. That's a great recognition by ownership. I still contend it's just as important that you reshape your front office as well. He tied these two to each other time and time again with their contracts. I don't know how one's gone and the other one gets to help pick his replacement. That seems counterintuitive and odd to me. Maybe we'll learn more about a reshaped front office in the hours and days to come. But when you're basically talking about blowing out your entire coaching staff, then it's time for the head coach to go. Because let's be real, we've done the exercises. What position group distinguished themselves?
Zero.
You know what I mean? Godseed's already gone.
Yep.
Like, you're looking to make a – you better change the O-line coach.
Yeah.
Defense, you're supposed to be the best secondary in the league. I don't think Pagano was going to stick around anymore. And you're probably looking at a new D coordinator. Or you're definitely looking at a new D coordinator. You're looking at least a couple of new position coaches over there. Like, what are we doing? The guy's going to have a whole new staff again in year 19?
It just seems like for the Lamar Jackson era, they've hit their peak with John Harbaugh. And John Harbaugh reached the pinnacle in Baltimore in 2012. But in the Lamar Jackson era, he hit his peak in the AFC Championship. The lack of postseason success since Super Bowl 47 is well documented. And again, John's a hell of a coach. John had a hell of a year, a hell of a run here, 18 years in Baltimore, but it had run its course, guys. It just had run its course. We've seen numerous offensive coordinators. We've seen numerous defensive coordinators. His latest one being Zach Orr. He handpicked. He opted to have the unproven guy that's never done it at any level. That was John that made that decision. And now you're making this move at a critical juncture in Lamar Jackson's career, where he's about to be 29 years old in, what, a week or whatever it is. Like, you're trying to figure this out while Lamar Jackson is still in the prime of his career.
Okay, Jason, so we're just hitting, the news has just hit us in the last 15 minutes, but first blush, anybody you think they should be coveting as a head coach?
I mean, it's sort of uncharted territory for this ownership group, and he's used to having an established head coach. Now, Harbs was a nobody when he hired him. It was a shocker when it happened. It was the runner-up to Jason Garrett or whatever. But he's been very established for a very long time, and they had a unique coach-owner relationship. So does he want someone who he feels like can step in with a little bit of gravitas and having already done it? Or does he feel like he needs to go in a completely different direction and find somebody young at the vanguard maybe? Does he want a specialist as well? I mean, Harb's coached secondary for a year, but he was a special teams guy. Does he want someone who is an offensive or a defensive genius? Sort of back to when Billick was hired in that model, right? He was supposed to be an offensive genius. Does he want somebody young the way Harbs was? I mean, look, he said he's not keeping this franchise forever. He's going to sell it. It's not staying in his family. So does that mean he's looking for someone from the college ranks who's a proven coach or someone who's done it before, who's been let go? Like, I wouldn't want Kevin Stefanski, but Kevin Stefanski's profile might appeal to Harbs. I think the D coordinator with the Packers, Hafley, is very interesting because he did a good job at BC as a head coach. So he's got some of that to him. And now he's done a really good job running Green Bay's defense for a couple of years. You're going to hear Jesse Minter's name. I think Jesse, we just talked about the Chargers. I think Chargers are going to have something for Drake May. And then I think they might even have something for Sean Payton and that crew. Like, Jesse Minter's got all kinds of ties to this team, to this family tree. Maybe you want to go totally away from the family tree, or maybe you look at McDonald as the one who got away and you see Jesse Minter as another sort of version of McDonald.
What about Chris Shula? You like it? That's a tree you know a little bit.
I like it, but I don't love it. I mean, Brandon Staley's a defensive coach from that family tree.
Failed.
Raheem Morris is defensive coach from that family tree. Like, it failed. I'm really interested in the D coordinator in Jacksonville. He's only done it for a year. He's really young. Knowing what I know of his background and the way he conducts himself, if he got in a room with Bisciotti, I think he might really sort of click with Bisciotti. I feel like the best first-time candidates are on the defensive side of the ball. They've plucked through these offensive guys. Anybody who's ever spent a minute with McVay,
This is just my first blush. When Steve Bisciotti fired Brian Billick following 2007, yes, they had a ton of defensive talent, but they were 5-11, and they weren't necessarily in a win-now mode. I know they went to the AFC Championship with Harbs being unproven and a kid from Delaware that they took. That was not – they didn't anticipate that turnaround happening as quick as they did. They're in a much different situation now than they were when they fired Brian Billick. Firing John Harbaugh now is a win-now move. And my gut is they're going to want an experienced guy. That's my gut.
I don't think this is going to happen. Sorry, Don. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's just my gut feeling because do you want to go through some possible rookie coach growing pains? I don't know. That's my gut feeling they want an experience.
So my gut said that this wasn't going to. I was talking to somebody a week ago who I respect, who's close to what goes on in that building. He said an interesting outside-the-box name. As you said, an experienced coach. Could Ozzie convince Nick Saban to come here? Like, they have Alabama ties. They're close.
Oh,
you want an experienced coach, a guy, Bisciotti's not going to be here forever. Do you use your Alabama ties to get an more experience than Nick Saban, and there is a tie there? I was like, whoa.
That's
I mean, I know that Dick Vermeil did it, but I covered Gibbs 2.0, and he was out longer than this. But
yeah, Saban's only been out of coaching for a couple years.
But he's been out of the NFL since 2009, the 1 year.
A long time.
In hindsight, it didn't go as terrible. I mean, I was covering the league then.
It wasn't as terrible.
And look at Miami since then. And like, that would be something.
That would be crazy.
How about that?
How old?
That would
Saban?
Be something.
Saban's 74.
If you're doing that,
how old's Pete Carroll?
Wait a minute. If you're doing that, why don't you get Bill Belichick?
Yeah, you could.
I don't want Bill.
Neither do I, but I also don't want Saban.
I'm not touching Bill.
There's a connection with connection with Ozzie and Bill.
There's connection with Ozzie and Bill Belichick.
Yes, yes. So
interesting.
If you're going the experience route, do you go super experience?
If DeCosta's in the building, there's no way in hell it's Bill Belichick. I can tell you that.
By the way, Bill Belichick, they're not bringing that girlfriend.
He's become a caricature.
And
not to mention, Bill the GM was horrific.
Well, he would have checks and balances.
He would, but no.
It's fascinating. I thought it should have happened. I didn't think we were going to get here, Jason.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think Dan Lanning would be really interesting. Yeah. I know Marcus Freeman just re-upped and recommitted to Notre Dame, but they've got a lot of ties to that program. They've always liked drafting kids from that program. They'd be really silly not to put some feelers out there. Now the Giants and other teams were trying, but they didn't have Lamar Jackson, and they haven't won recently the way that few teams have won recently, the way the Ravens have won.
This is the hottest job on the market. Like, it's not even close.
Well, you have Lamar Jackson. Despite what you think of the roster, you have Lamar Jackson.
People who would look at the Jackson Dart thing and also be like,
oh, come on.
But Jackson Dart.
No, I mean,
This is the hottest job on the market.
It's the best job. Yeah, it's the best job.
410-583-1057. Live radio is fun. John Harbaugh fired. Your thoughts. 410-583-1057. We talk to the people next. This, according to Jordan Schultz, Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti spent all day meeting with John Harbaugh. It was a, quote, very honest, very open conversation that was, quote, quite difficult at times. And in the end, it was time. So John Harbaugh fired as head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Let's hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Initial reactions. Let's start with, is this Rel? Rel, you're on the fan.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Good evening, man.
Hey there.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. And by the way, before I get into it, I want to say that I took a quick look at you guys on YouTube, man. I will say you guys look wonderful, man.
Oh, well, thank you. I don't know about that. I appreciate the praise. I don't necessarily buy it, but I'll take it.
It's the 105.7 The Fan makeup crew. Thank you.
Yeah, I need a haircut bad. My wife's so mad at me right now.
So I want to say this, man. I rejoice. I am happy. I am a long Ravens fan since the late 90s, early 2000 days, man. And I was happy to see this day coming because I'm like, man, I love John Harbaugh. I love what he brought to the organization for the last 18 years. However, I just honestly feel like his ways have gotten a bit stale.
Yeah.
I just think that he's outcoached this team in multiple ways over the last maybe 2, maybe 3 years, probably 4 at most. And I just feel like, you know, it's starting to show in the players that his ways are not what it used to be anymore, man. And it's not getting it done. Real quick, I want to ask this question before I let you guys go. What do you think about Brian Flores? And do you think that
I love Brian Flores?
Appreciate the call.
We're doing a six pack tomorrow of favorite head coaching candidates, and he will definitely be on mine. I think he's gotten a raw deal. I think he learned. You want a guy on the second time a lot. He was in a rough spot in Miami. He knows and has acknowledged the people in his inner circle for a long time that he made some mistakes. Now, look, I've heard Josh McDaniels and other people who were that sort of hard ass Belichick wannabe type, you know, and say contrition, but then not back it up. But I would be all about Brian Flores.
I'd be all about Brian Flores as well. Just first blush, I think they're going to want someone with experience. Plus, that's a guy that could come in and help fix this defense.
Yeah. Amen on that. Zach is in Pikesville. Zach, you're on the fan.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey there.
Oh, man. So Hub's time, it was time to go at this point for the most part. I love Hubs. He did everything he could for us. But at the end of the day, you know, we was running off a classic song for a long time, and we need a new hit record. We need a new hit record for the most part. But I'm happy that everything he did for us, he a true leader of men, you know, to the maximum capacity. But the message was getting stale. I'm real curious if Lamar had anything to do with it, as far as like Bashotti inquiring with him on what he wanted to do. I'm sure he did, but we'll probably never know. But yeah, it was it. You know, a lot of people was worried about what it's going to look like on the other side, and we'll never know till we try. So, you know, this was the best time to shoot the shot, and we can't waste these guys' prime like that. We got to try to see what's going to happen on the other side.
Appreciate the call.
Absolutely.
What do you
somebody,
think of-
somebody else deserves a crack at Lamar's, you know, early 30s.
Do you think Lamar was
asked? I agree with
everything
the caller said. I mean, he would be stupid not to have engaged with him at all, given they set this thing up as a ticking time, a Lamar ticking time bomb in winter 2026.
Yeah.
This quote was circulating earlier today. I sent it in the group chat, and it was Bashotti when he fired Billick, and I think really it rings true today. He said this in 07. In order to be successful, you have to take chances, and in order to take chances, you have to listen to your heart. You have to go with your gut. It doesn't mean that you don't fear being wrong, because I do fear being wrong. I could be three coaches past Brian Billick 9 years from now trying to solve this puzzle. You are taking a chance in doing this, but it's time.
Absolutely. 410-583-1057. Nick is in Delaware. Nick, you're on the Fan.
Hey, fellas. I'll be honest. I just got news literally like 12 minutes ago, so I'm still in that shock state. Crazy day at work. But I will say this. That's been one of the best things about being a Baltimore fan is the stability at the head coach. You see so many teams with the carousel that you guys just referenced, and it honestly, it's scary for me, fellas. I think the wrong guy got the X. I mean, EDC is the one who drafted a kicker that missed. I mean, if we're this good of a team and we're this close and you went with an undrafted rookie kicker for a team that's supposed to be Super Bowl, I mean, I don't see how this guy survives, but Harbs doesn't. You know, and I hope we nail it. I hope they get the right person in here to get us to the finish line. But, you know, Harbs didn't fumble a couple years ago. Harbs didn't drop a two-point conversion. Harbs didn't miss that field goal. But he's had us in position year in and year out for those types of plays. And to get rid of him, man, I hope we don't regret this. And I hope I don't see six head coaches in the next 12, 15 years, and we're stuck in one of these ruts, guys. So biggest concern right there.
Yeah. It was just in the quote I gave from Bashotti. There's no.
This will be Bashotti's last coach.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, the timing of that, and whenever he does sell, and then could that mean an inherent change? Because you spend $6.5 billion for something, you might want to put your own people in charge. All that, you know, will eventually play out. But look, he had, again, I'll say it before I say it again, Bashotti had always tied this GM and this coach together. So I don't know. Maybe tomorrow he'll have a long meeting with Eric DaCosta about all the things he might need to change. I don't know. I believe, in my heart, for this to work, you reboot, you start from scratch, you bring these two in together, you tie them together from the onset. You don't have a GM who will be on the clock with a coach who maybe he's never done the job before.
Yeah.
I reset the slate.
For what it's worth, I saw Rappaport said that DaCosta was the one to tell the team. So I can't imagine he's going to get fired after relaying the news.
Yeah. Do I think Steve would totally do the right thing? No. Yeah. So, yeah. That would sound about right.
Let's go to Jim in Ellicott City. Jim, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. You're going to do this six-pack tomorrow. I hope you include the hometown guy, Jim Schwartz, from he'll fix the defense for us.
Yeah.
I think you could get him as the D coordinator, though. I mean,
I don't know about him as a head coach, but I like him as a D coordinator.
I mean, he obviously, look, I thought he did a pretty good job in Detroit.
Yeah. He had that incident with Jim Harbaugh.
Yes, he did.
Mount St. Joe guy.
Yeah, Mount St. Joe. Yeah, look, I think Jim Schwartz in the building would make a lot of sense, whether he's the head coach or not, or what family tree they end up going with, and if he has any ties to whoever the head coach is. But yeah, I mean, look, Jim Schwartz has ties to this organization. He was back in that old Cleveland crew. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Any name, I know Jesse Minter is going to be the name that gets connected as people are tuning in and finding out the news that John Harbaugh got fired, excuse me. any name that's sort of ringing true for you? And again, just like the caller, we're 12 minutes into this, but like anybody that you sort of your spotty sense tingles for as they make this move?
Excuse me. My hunch is that it could be a defensive guy and that Harbs is going to resonate with those people. And I think that's honestly the way to go. I think defense, especially if it is a young coach, and Flores is still relatively young.
Yeah.
When you have that sort of voice and you connect with that side of the ball and you have a decent offensive coordinator, I think you can galvanize all 53 more than one of these McDaniel types who's a little bit mealy-mouthed and not totally comfortable in his own skin, didn't play the game at a particularly high level or not compared to these guys. And then he's got all of a sudden jump from micromanaging a quarterback and maybe, you know, like some protection schemes to taking over 53 guys with disparate backgrounds and at different points of their career and everything. And I mean, there's some people who would say I'm not touching Brian Flores because of the lawsuit.
Yeah, I was wondering what the other owners think.
I mean,
about.
I would hope that wouldn't matter here. I'd be trying to get the best and the brightest. But yeah, I mean, Brian Flores to me is more qualified than most of the people out there.
We've got some dribs and drabs coming in. I'm going to guess this is coming from John or somebody close to John, but Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, John Harbaugh was confident he would return with the same staff and minor tweaks. That was not good enough. Now he's out.
We've talked about this potential dynamic for a while. I've been bringing it up, honestly, on this show at different times for years. He's a coach's son. His dad is his brother is a coach. He is a coach's coach. You don't want to be known in coaching circles as a guy who's always firing his underlings to keep his job. Like, you do it to a point, and I'm telling you, it never went unnoticed with him. Why am I always getting rid of my highest paid guys and the guys I trust the most, but nothing changes in personnel? We got people who've been here 20 years, and they just keep getting moved up the food chain and getting promotions, but it's always Winks holding us back, or this guy's holding us back, or my linebacker's
coach. Insert offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Right. But like at a certain point, you're like, hey, man, like, when's it changing over there? And if it's not changing over there, guess what? I'm not firing all these guys again.
We'll come back at the text of the day, preview a big show tomorrow, because now we have this to digest and get you ready for Westwood One Radio at 6 here on The Fan. Credit to one T-Bone Tim Barbalace, who told us that the loser of the Steelers-Ravens game...
The first one in Baltimore.
Yeah, you said the loser would be fired.
I did. I did a whole TMI on that. The loser would be fired. And the loser was fired. But the Ravens, they did put out a statement, Steve Bisciotti here. Following a comprehensive evaluation of the season and the overall direction of our organization, I decided to make a change at head coach. Today, I informed John that he has been relieved of his duties. This was an incredibly difficult decision, given the tremendous 18 years we've spent together and the profound respect I have for John as a coach and, most importantly, as a great man of integrity. Throughout what I firmly believe is a Hall of Fame coaching career, John has delivered a Super Bowl championship to Baltimore and served as a steadfast pillar of humility and leadership. He and his family have deeply embedded themselves in this community. For these profound contributions on and off the field, we should all be forever grateful. Our goal has always been and will always be to win championships. We strive to consistently perform at the highest level on the field and be a team and organization our fans take pride in. I will always be grateful for the extraordinary hard work and dedication displayed by John and his staff throughout the many successful years. I wish he, Ingrid, and Allison all the best going forward. We now begin the challenging but exciting process of identifying the next leader of our football team. We fully understand the expectations of our fans and everyone in the Ravens organization. Finding another strong leader and partner who will reflect these high standards is paramount. We deeply appreciate our fans and will continue to work relentlessly to bring them, our city, and the extended community the success they deserve. John, there's a statement from John later on in here, if you want me to...
Oh, what's John say?
Keep going. Here's John.
Well, I was hoping for a different kind of message on my last day here someday, but that day has come today. It comes with disappointment, certainly, but more with gratitude and appreciation. Gratitude to the owner and organization who is willing to bring in a head coach who made his mark with special team success, a difficult thing to do, and appreciation for all the moments all these years that are etched into eternity. I hope a legacy built on faith, always fighting, always believing, values built into an organization through a team that are worthwhile, good and lasting, and that are admired by fans and foes alike. Meaningful and impactful relationships with players through the years that I will cherish always, grateful for their strength and courage. Loyal partnerships in this wonderful building that grew into strong friendships through the toil and tempest of the job every day. Mostly to my treasured family, my Ingrid and my Allison, who are beyond compare in every way, and the loves of my life, and my close-knit family and good friends who stick with you no matter what. Finally, to the author and finisher of our faith, gratitude for a journey beyond anything that I could have dreamed of on my own. All is well with my soul because of the good God who guides and sustains me. That was John Harbaugh.
Oh, well done. You just stole Ben's text of the day.
Text that one.
It's going to be hard to top that, Ben.
You have me in tears over here, Tim. That was touching.
Look, I'm just on record. I believe strongly they will regret not rebooting their front office at this same time. But this had to happen. And good on Pisciotti for recognizing it. Because he's telling you there. Yeah. Harbaugh, that's his own way of saying this had run its course.
Yeah.
It was time for me to have a new challenge and them to have a new voice.
If he wants another job, he'll have a job quickly.
Look, I think the New York Giants with Jackson Dart could be interesting. I think he's got a lot of ties to Tennessee. Scott Cohen, who used to work here as sort of his personal personnel guy, is in Tennessee. Denard Wilson is in Tennessee. Nashville's kind of like Baltimore, a big enough town, but small enough.
Yeah.
It's frankly bigger than Baltimore now. It's cheaper.
Unless you go on Broadway and then there's $12 drinks.
It's also kind of interesting. In John's statement, there's a smiling emoji. I'm assuming that was just a mistype in there, but
they left it.
Bocce Ball got a press conference and a receiving line with Dr. Jerry Alois Coleman at the end of it. And Harb's got an emoji
The smiling blush is after the first the first sentence.
Oh,
well, I was hoping for a different kind of message on my last day here someday, but that day has come today. Smiling, blushing emoji.
Harb's getting emotional. What do we have on tomorrow's show, Bugs?
Tomorrow's show, Tim Murray. We'll get our best bets with him.
Playoffs.
Aaron Schatz. We will talk NFL playoffs and Ravens, of course, with him. And Bo Smoka, who he's done on the Ravens beat, but...
And wrote a piece recently that Eric DaCosta needs to eat some of this.
Yes. He'll be joining us as well from press.
He gets the higher coach.
Yeah. Westwood One Radio is coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow, too, here on The Fan.